In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord be with
you.
Good morning, everyone. We celebrate today, 31st Sunday of Ordinary Time. In our Gospel, we will see a man, tax collector, chief of tax collectors, who wants to see Jesus. And Jesus invites himself and invites him to dine in his house. We ask God today for every grace that we need in our life. And we also ask for forgiveness for all our sins.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Lord.
At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now, a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Both last week and this week, our first reading came from what we call the Catholic Bible. Last week, we heard from the book of Sirach, and today from the book of Wisdom. Two books, each masterpieces, are found only in what we call the Catholic Bible. Now, perhaps you're aware that the Catholic Bible, the Old Testament, contains seven additional books that are not found in what we would call, for lack of a better term or better phrase, the Protestant Bible. The reason we have these additional seven books in the Old Testament is very simple. Jesus himself, when he quotes the Old Testament, sometimes uses passages that are only found in these seven books, the Catholic Bible. Furthermore, that was the Bible that the apostles used. That was the Bible that the early church used. Very early in Christian history, the church decreed that these seven books were inspired by God, and that the message they contain, along with the rest of the books of the Bible, are necessary for our salvation. And as I said in our first reading today, we heard from the Book of Wisdom, sometimes called the Wisdom of Solomon. It was written about 100 years before the time of Christ, and its message is a very simple one from that first reading. And that is, creation is but a speck before God. Yet, God loves everything that he made. This then leads him to be gentle and patient, even with the wicked, giving them the time and the opportunity to repent. Also, in this book of the wisdom of Solomon, it comes to grips with one of the greatest questions asked of all time. Where does death come from? Solomon clearly sees how unfair this life could be at times, but points out that that unfairness will in fact be rectified in the next life. He clearly tells us that the souls of the righteous find a home with God where they will experience peace and blessing. The words from the beginning of the wisdom of Solomon say, "The souls of the just are in the hands of God." This is probably the most frequent reading you will hear at a Catholic funeral. In fact, if you went to Mass yesterday morning for All Souls Day, you would have heard that very reading. This Wisdom of Solomon, this book contains what is probably the most extensive meditation on death found in the Bible, and it clearly states that God did not make death, nor does he delight in the death of the living, but that it is through the envy of the devil that death entered the world. Now I know this doesn't sound like the most cheery topic for a beautiful, cool Sunday morning, I know. But I think it's something that's necessary for us to talk about. You know, it was just the other day that a good friend commented to me that the 3 days that we just commemorated, All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day, might be called the Triduum of Death. But remember, God did not create death, not the kind of death we see in the cemetery, in the memorial garden, the corruption of the body. That was our doing. Twice, the Catechism of the Catholic Church quotes from this book, The Wisdom of Solomon, to remind us that death is a consequence of sin. The Church, who is the authentic interpreter of sacred scripture, clearly teaches that death entered the world on account of sin. And the Catechism tells us that even though our nature is mortal, God has not destined us to die. Death was contrary to the plans that God had for us. The bodily death from which we would have been immune had Adam not sinned is thus the last enemy to be defeated. And Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has conquered death once and for all. So, what exactly was God's plan for us? We know very well. We look at the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose sinless body was preserved from the corruption of the grave. When her earthly life came to an end, she experienced what we call her dormition, her falling asleep in the Lord, and was assumed body and soul into heaven. That was God's original intention for us as well. A beautiful transition when our earthly life ends, a beautiful transition from this life to eternal life, body and soul, until sin entered the world. This is why the church gives us these days of grace to reflect on the bond that exists among the church on earth, all of us, the church in purgatory, and the church in heaven. A bond that exists between us and our loved ones who have gone before us to the next life. But we also must reflect on ourselves and on our own mortality. This time, these days, are a reminder that this earth is not our permanent home. These days serve as a sobering reminder that one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And since death could come to us at a time when we least expect, like a thief in the night, the single most important question any of us can ask ourselves is, am I ready? I can remember when I was studying for the diaconate, before I was ordained though, there was a young man in our parish, young 40, something like that, who was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor and given about 6 months to live. A real tragedy. He had a very successful career. He had a beautiful family, including young children. And here he's handed this death sentence. You know, and I was thinking that one day, perhaps the day would come when I would have to preach at a funeral such as that. And I was thinking how difficult that's going to be. What do you say at a time like that? So I went to the priest who was going to be preaching the funeral the very next day, and I said to him, boy, this is going to be tough homily to give. And in his own inimitable way, this was a guy who was good with the one-line shutter-upper. Did you know that type? He said to me, no, it'll be easy. And I said, easy? How can this be easy? And he looked at me and he said, he was ready. He was ready to go. Then he said, you're going to find that the difficult funeral homilies to preach are for those who were not ready. Zacchaeus saw the error of his ways and tried hard to get himself ready. He was an extortionist who preyed upon his own people and got extremely rich doing so. And so he was hated by his fellow Jews. He was most definitely one of the wicked that the wisdom of Solomon refers to in our first reading. But as a Jew, he knew the words from the wisdom of Solomon. He knew the Catholic Bible. We heard in our first reading, and Zacchaeus knew that God has mercy on all that they may repent. That God rebukes offenders little by little to warn them and to remind them of the sins they are committing so they may abandon their wickedness and believe in Him. And like with so many, something was stirring in the conscience of Zacchaeus. Like so many, he was moved by the teachings of this man Jesus, and he wanted to see for himself who Jesus was. It's called responding to God's grace. And this response to God's grace on his part led to an encounter with Jesus that leads him to repentance and a total change of life. Zacchaeus said, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall pay it four times over." You see, as part of repentance, and this goes for us just as well, is to make restitution, reparation for our sins. We must do what we can to repair the damage we have done by our sins. Now, just think about this for a moment. The gospel simply says a couple of things. It simply says that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. It says he was a tax collector, but not just any old tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. And he was the chief tax collector in the border city of Jericho. Put all these pieces together, and you come up with the conclusion that he was an extremely wealthy man. Yet, of all that wealth, he takes half and he gives it to the poor. Stop and think about that for a minute. Think about all of your wealth, all of your possessions, your car, your house, your savings, your retirement, your jewelry, your whatever, all those things. And now think about taking half of that and giving it away to the poor. Think about that for a while. Zacchaeus says, if I extorted anything from anyone, I'll repay it four times over. You know, for a Jew, giving to the poor is not an option. It's a mitzvah. It's a commandment. You must do it. Zacchaeus was a Jew who knew God's law. He just wasn't following it. In the book of Exodus, it clearly says, if you steal something from someone, you must repay them fourfold, four times over. He reforms his life and begins to follow the law of God. His life was forever changed. At his funeral, we don't know what was said, but at his funeral, the homilist could have said, Zacchaeus was ready. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation for all of us here is our goal. If we remain faithful, like Zacchaeus, we too must be transformed. So that one day, like the saints in heaven, we can reflect God's glory and God's love. But to do that, we need to begin right now. Remember that in the end, when all is over, there are only two options. Either you're a saint or you ain't. Saints and ain'ts. Those are the only two things that are going to be. Which one do you choose?